Ready for the word? All right. Now, the slides will be up there. Otherwise, you can follow along in the app. I'm going to read them off the app. We got lots of different ways. Ending the healing debate, part two. Now, some of you may be thinking there was not a part one last week, and you are correct. But I think it was about 8 weeks ago, we did ending the healing debate, and we didn't call it part one. So the Lord impressed upon me to teach on healing this week, and instead of me coming up with a clever title, I'm like, I'll just call it part two. But how many of you know it's important in the body of Christ, we need to stop the debate on healing? It is amazing to me, amazing, and not amazing in a good way, that people in the body of Christ that call themselves Christians will actively seek to twist and distort scriptures to prove that God does not heal anymore. It's either because when the disciples died, all of that kind of stuff happened. When we got the closed canon Bible, all of the stuff started to cease. When you cannot produce a single scripture in the entire Bible that says any of that. And if you're like, well, then why have people believed this? I could give you a little bit of church history about it. Does everybody know who Martin Luther and John Calvin are? The Protestant movement, right? The breakaway from the Catholic Church. Both of those gentlemen were cessationists, which means they believe that the gifts have ceased. Have you ever heard of the term Calvinism before? Where God picks and chooses who will be saved. He picks some for heaven and he picks some for hell. Calvinism comes from John Calvin. I'm not picking on these guys. I am thankful for the Reformation. I am thankful because there were a lot of super messed up things going on in the Catholic Church, and there still are today. So I could take the bad with the good, but just because they're the fathers of the Reformation doesn't mean that they got everything right. Amen? God is always right. Jesus is always right. The Holy Spirit is always right. And their stuff was penned in a book we call the Bible. So if what is being taught cannot be found in Scripture, it's a deception. And so, but I'm giving you that's one of the reasons why that most denominations do not believe in healing today. And when I say don't believe in healing, I don't mean that they pray a prayer and end it with, oh Lord, if it be your will, and if not, then let me be sick. That's how most people pray. I'm talking about that healing is a promise from God to the believer. I got a couple. And I could be so bold to say that God wants you well. Is there any parent in here, and I'm going to be looking for hands because we're going to talk afterwards. Any parent in here, do you cause or allow sickness on your children to teach them something? Anybody ever heard that God does that to people? Do you know that the Bible says in Ephesians 5, imitate God as little children? So if you believe that God causes or allows sickness on your children and you're supposed to imitate God, you need to start doing that. I'm glad I didn't get any amens on that because I don't want you to do that. But I'm saying, the Bible says, Ephesians 5:1, imitate God as little children. The Bible says, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So why do we think that God does these things that we would never do? And I guess I would ask the permission is, if going, well, God does it, but I don't do it, my question would be, why? Aren't you his children? Am I not his child? Am I not supposed to imitate him? Did Jesus say, follow me? Not me. Did Jesus say to follow himself? Did Jesus say, come and follow me, right? If you want to follow me, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's an invitation to discipleship. Discipleship doesn't just mean say what I say. It means do what I do. I could sit up here and go scripture upon scripture upon scripture, and inevitably you will have people go, well, what about Job? And if you're one of those people going, well, I want to know about Job. Job did not have a covenant with God. Understand? Do you understand? We have the covenant of Jesus. Job didn't have a covenant at all. God can do to Job whatever he wants to do. And in fact, he didn't do anything to Job. Satan did it to Job. And Job was confused because he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And I want to go, no, Job, you're wrong. God didn't do anything. Satan did it. But we come up with these theologies because it's been taught in Bible colleges. It's been taught by other pastors. And I would just urge you that if some of you, if you're visiting, you're like, is this when I'm going to be able to exit out of here? Especially if you don't believe in healing. But listen, I urge anybody and everybody, just read the Word. Just read the Word. Do not read it through a Protestant lens. Do not read it through a Catholic lens. Do not read it through a Baptist lens. Do not read it through a Pentecostal lens. Read the Word. And things will become clear. And if they're not clear, ask Holy Spirit to make it clear. You could tell I'm passionate about healing because I'm tired of seeing Christians be sick and other Christians come along and suggest that it might be the will of God. How can you call your God your loving Father if your loving Father wants you to be sick? All right, you ready? All right, well, let's, like I challenged and said, let's see it in the Word, then let's see it in the Word. So let's go to the first scripture. I want to build, I would like to build a foundation for healing and then and get rid of these ridiculous notions that it wasn't only for a handful of people. So we're going to start off in Matthew 10, verse 1, and this is in the Greek. Those of you who are visiting, we usually use the NASB, but a lot of times I like the original language, so I spend the time to go through all of the Greek words so that we can bring out the fullness of the text. So it says, having called his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits. What did he give them? Authority. To eject them. I found out that this is the closest to the Greek word, so I'm not going to say cast out demons anymore. I'm going to say eject them. I love it. So when you know if you encounter somebody with that's possessed by a demon, eject it. Don't talk to it. Don't play with it. Don't ask it its name. Eject it. So he gave them authority over unclean spirits to eject them and to heal everybody say every disease and every sickness. Now, for us, in our English language, it's like, well, disease, sickness, what's the difference? In the Greek, there is a difference. Sickness would be more like sickness that could come on you and come off of you. Disease is a long-term, debilitating, ongoing disease. That's the difference. Sickness would be like, you know, I've got a cold, somebody pray over me. You know, or, you know, this thing that happened to me, pray over me. But disease would be like a debilitating, ongoing problem. Like MS would be a good example, right? That's a disease that's an ongoing, progressive thing. You can heal MS. I have seen testimonies of people who have been healed of MS. I say MS because I like to pick out big ones that were like, I'm sure God can heal my cold, but what about MS? When he heals MS, the lights don't flicker in heaven because there was a power drain. He is the king of the universe. Okay, so he gave 12 guys, not Bible college students, not seminary graduates, fishermen, tax collectors, not great people, authority to eject demons and heal every sickness and every disease. Pretty cool, huh? All right, let's go on to the next verse. Some of these I understand are repeated, but I just want you to understand that in the four Gospels, a lot of times stories are repeated, but sometimes you can only find them in one. This one is mentioned in multiple ones. Now, this is just 8 verses later in the book of Matthew. So that was the overview, eject demons, heal every sickness and every disease, and now he gives more specific marching orders. Jesus says, as you go, proclaim. That word is preach. People think like, oh, well, there are preachers in this world. Yes, but again, if we understand it biblically, when someone says, well, are you a preacher? all of your answers, if you tell people about the gospel, your answer should be, yes, I'm a preacher. Because it just means proclaim. That's all that it means. So Jesus says, proclaim or preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. So he's telling again, the 12, as you go, preach or proclaim, the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, eject demons. Then look what he says. Freely you have received, freely give. That is such an encompassing thing. It's not just what Jesus was talking about in this context, but everything that you have received freely from Jesus in your life, freely give. Have you received an abundance of grace? Show an abundance of grace to other people. Have you been loved unconditionally? Show unconditional love to people. Isn't it amazing how we love what God has done for us, but many times in certain situations, we don't tend to extend it at the same veracity as the way that God loves us? That's wrong. Freely we have received, freely give. And what is he saying? You have received authority to eject demons, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, and heal the sick. Freely you've received, freely give. Now, we could say, well, he's talking about because they have this authority, he wants them to do this. You've received it, give it. But what did they receive? Did they receive healing or did they receive authority? So maybe it's got a two-prong effect. Yes, he wants them to heal the sick, cleanse lepers, all of that kinds of things. But what if he says, freely you have received, freely give, meaning as you go out, pass this authority on to others. All right, let's go on to the next verse. We have lots of verses to go through, so I don't want to get hung up on too many. Okay, Mark 3, this is the same commission, but as recorded by Mark. And Jesus appointed 12 apostles to be with him, that he could send them out to proclaim or preach and to have authority to eject demons. Next verse. Oh, that was it. Sorry. Now we're in Luke. I thought there was more to that. So that's Mark's account. So again, having authority to eject demons and preaching the gospel. You ever notice so far he's told people to preach the gospel and didn't just say preach? There was always something that needed to come along with it. Like manifestations, like examples of power. Like you proclaim, the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. Well, how do we know that? Hey, lame person, get up. Boom, you get up. See, kingdom's here. And it was coming near to them at that time. How much more prevalent do you think the kingdom of heaven is now, 2,000 years from then? And yet, people say all the time, why don't we see the miracles like in the Bible times? I'll tell you why. Because our faith has down to here. You literally have Christians fighting against these concepts to drag other people's faith down to here. Now, please don't misunderstand. Are you saying it's just about faith? No, I'm not saying it's about faith. But many times Jesus says, your faith has made you well. It has been done according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be done to you. These are the words of Jesus Christ. If you don't like that concept, take it up with him. I don't encourage you to do that. You're going to be wrong. Okay, so now we have Luke's gospel. Having called the 12, he gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim or preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Preach the kingdom of God, heal the sick. He didn't say pick one or the other. He said, do both. Why? You are proclaiming something, and the healing the sick, the ejecting demons, is the proof that what you're proclaiming is true. We've talked about this in here. I don't know why we've decided, because we've had Bible colleges and we have the book, the Bible now and all of this. We don't need all of this other stuff because we have all the truth in the book and in our Bible colleges. You know what? Muslims got churches too. They got a book too. The Hindus, they have a book. They have churches. Wiccans, I'm pretty sure they have a book. It doesn't matter, because people go, what makes your book different than our book? And we can say, because our truth of what we're saying is truth, because, and then we heal the sick, eject demons, raise the dead, cleanse lepers. I don't know why we think, because we have the Bible, we can trade that off. You know what? Jesus had the Bible. He was speaking it in real time. The Bible says, do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that was all written down for us. Praise God. Okay, next verse. Okay, good. We're still in Luke. And he says, whatever city you enter and they receive you, this is important, because Jesus does talk about if they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet and move on. I want to say many of you, I'm sure, are trying to reach certain people with the gospel. I'm not telling you to give up, but if you are spending all of your time on one particular person that you want to be saved, while hundreds of people are walking by you that might actually receive it, you need to shake the dust off your feet. I know that's hard, because some of you may be working on family members, and that doesn't mean stop, but that does not mean devote your time and effort to people that don't want to listen to you. You will just frustrate yourselves. Jesus, you know, we always think, like, when we're like, oh, Jesus is love. Yeah, but love sometimes says some hard truths. Jesus says, if they don't receive you, shake off the dust of your feet as a sign to them, because they did not receive it. It was basically a judgment against them. You don't want the kingdom. You don't want the healing. You don't want the word. You don't want it. Fine, we're out of here. And Jesus goes on to say, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. If the works that were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. But I'm here doing works in front of you, and you're not repenting. So in the judgment, it will be worse for you. Those are the words of Jesus. Why? Because he knows only he himself is going to be able to save us. And if we reject the only thing that can save us, it's on us. Amen? Like, people are like, why would God ever send anybody to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. People send themselves to hell because they reject the Lord. I mean, that would literally be like if you were drowning and I threw you a life preserver and they're like, save me. I'm like, well, it's right there. Just grab it. I don't want that. Give me something else to save me. That's all I've got. And then they drown and they're like, why didn't you save me? I tried to. And you rejected it. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Not I'm a way, a truth, and a life. It doesn't say no one goes to heaven except through me. He says no one comes to the Father except through me. So he says, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat anything that is set before you. Heal those who live in the city and say to them. So again, we've got healing combined with a message. The kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, some of you may be thinking, what's the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? The answer is nothing. It's just certain gospel writers, one would call it the kingdom of heaven. Another gospel writer would call it the kingdom of God. It's the same thing. So again, the evidence of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven coming near to you is supernatural signs and wonders. How many of you know that when Jesus came, because he's the king, he brought the kingdom into the earth? He even said to pray before he even went to the cross, pray in this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you understand that every command that the Lord gives us is just to bring about his kingdom in the earth, right? If he says, love people, that's because everyone in heaven is loved. If he says, show compassion and mercy to people, that's because compassion and mercy flows like water in heaven. If he says, heal the sick, it's because there's no sick people in heaven. If he says, raise dead people, it's because there's no dead people in heaven. They are more alive than they've ever been, and that we will ever be on earth. It's the kingdom. It's the mindset. It's the spiritual. This is what Jesus came to bring us, and we were ignorant in all of it. So he's saying, proclaim the kingdom and do the kingdom, right? Manifest the kingdom. These are the instructions. Now, I have 70 in parentheses there because he's not telling the 12 this. He commissioned 70 more. So, you know, like when people say, well, I'm a cessationist. I believe that when all of the apostles died, all of the gifts died with them. I'm like, which apostles? The 12? The 70? The people that we knew later in Acts were also doing miracles but were never called apostles? And then they get confused very quickly because it's not a thing. It's a false doctrine. Cessationism, I'm going to say it, I don't care how much flack I get, cessationism is a doctrine of demons. It's not a theological difference. If my father, if my brother, meaning the father and my brother Jesus, healed people and told us to do it, we don't get a choice in the matter. I mean, you could choose not to, but you are being disobedient. We don't get to pick the parts of Christianity we like and then throw these parts away. You see churches doing that all the time, calling things that are clearly sin to this day, not sin anymore, for inclusion. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And you know at Seven Mountains what we say about that. Who cares how you feel? And those of you visiting be like, he doesn't care about how I feel. What we're saying is when if your feelings are not in alignment with the Word of God, we don't care how you feel, you need to trust truth because we have a whole demonic society out there that are driven by their feelings. And not just driven by their feelings, but if I feel this way, now I'm going to try to get laws passed so you have to acknowledge the way that I feel, even though it may be wrong. It's crazy. You who are my age and older understand we lived in saner times, amen? It's nuts. Okay, so he commissioned 70 more. So you got the 12, now you have 70 more. So 82 people that we know of are out there healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, and ejecting demons. Let's go to the next verse. John, the Apostle John, says to Jesus, Master, we saw someone in your authority, cause, character, and reputation. Now remember, that's what it means in the name of Jesus. Like when we say in the name of Jesus, it means in his authority, cause, character, and reputation. Master, we saw someone in your authority, cause, character, and reputation ejecting demons. So we stopped him because he does not follow us. This is still going on in the church today, right? He's like, Jesus, we saw somebody casting out demons in your name. We stopped him because he doesn't roll with us. He's of a different denomination. Jesus is like, what? And so next verse, Jesus said to John, don't stop him. Whoever is not against you is for you. Now, here's a crazy thing. I don't know if you've ever thought about this from messing with your theology a bit. Obviously, Jesus commissioned the 70. Obviously, Jesus commissioned the 12. So we assume he passed on his power, his authority to them. This guy, we have no idea from Scripture that anyone laid hands on him, that he was even part of the 70 and the 12. What if this guy has kind of been like hiding in the bushes, kind of watching everything is going on, and is like, man, the kingdom is here, and they're doing these miracles and stuff. This seems like a great movement, a great thing. I believe in this Jesus guy. I want to do these things too. And so he just goes out and starts doing them. Because it doesn't say that he was failing. It says, we saw him ejecting demons. And we told him, stop it. And Jesus is like, why? Right? Why? Because he is manifesting the kingdom on earth. Well, but we don't know him. Who cares? He's not against us. He's for us. He's doing kingdom work and getting kingdom results. Okay, so we've got the 12, the 70, some random guy, all apparently operating in supernatural gifts. All right, let's go to the next verse. Stephen. Now, I think Stephen has come up lately because when the whole Charlie Kirk thing happened, a lot of people compared him to Stephen because talking about how he was martyred for his faith. You know, people can say he was martyred for his politics all the live long day, but if you ever listened to him to any great extent, it was because he was giving people biblical truth, and people that don't like truth don't like that, and because they can't argue against truth, they become violent. That's why you see what goes on in the streets and people screaming at the sky and rioting and looting, because they do not have an argument against truth. So, is Stephen one of the 12? Is he one of the 70? Was he that random guy? No. If you actually do a background check on Stephen, Peter says, hey, listen, our church is getting pretty big, and there were some widows that got neglected in the daily distribution of food. That is not cool. So we need to get some people. And I love it how they say it, because I think in the church we'd be like, well, if somebody's getting missed out on distribution of food, shoot, anybody can hand out food. Let's just grab a couple people. That would be the attitude today. Peter says, listen, we need to get some guys that are full of the Spirit, that have love. Like, there's a list you can read in Acts of what they had to have just to pass out food. And actually really to oversee the distribution of food. And Peter says this because he says, listen, it's not that we don't want to do it. It's not that we don't want to get our hands dirty. Our commissioning from God is the gospel, to proclaim the gospel, to go out, to do all of these things. And if one or two people are doing everything, then you're not really doing what you're called to do, right? So that's why even, I would say, from a biblical perspective, at our Seven Mountains family, that's why we need lots of people to help, and some people are gifted in certain areas that other people aren't, and vice versa. And so it should never be just a handful of people doing everything, because then the things that those people do well won't be able to get done because they're busy doing all of the other things. Does this make sense? So Stephen is one of these guys that is picked for overseeing food distribution. Again, in this day and age, we would think, well, that's not a big deal. So we're just like, it's this guy. But he says that Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. And it's like, wait, I thought this guy was over food distribution. Well, he was, but he was also performing great wonders and signs among the people. People from the synagogue of the freedman argued with Stephen. See, they even had denominations back then. However, they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit by which he was speaking. Again, this is amazing. This was a guy that was picked to oversee distribution of food, but apparently he has tons of wisdom. The people weren't able to argue with him because his wisdom was from the spirit. Oh, and by the way, he was doing all kinds of cool miracles, signs, and wonders. The food distribution guy. See, we're all called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're all anointed and called so that we can manifest the kingdom on earth. And no, it's not limited to miracles, signs, and wonders. I would say food distribution to widows is a manifestation of the kingdom on earth. Why? There's nobody hungry in heaven, therefore there should be nobody hungry on the earth. It's just another manifestation. Sometimes, like I said, we get off in a ditch either way. You know, you got Pentecostals that are all about miracle signs and wonders, healings, the gifts, da-da-da-da-da. And then you got, like, the Baptists that are just like, no, mercy, compassion, love, forgiveness. And because they don't necessarily believe in that we can just distribute out the gifts as we go, that we can lay hands on the sick, that we have to pray special prayers, and we get off in a ditch in both sides instead of just going, Jesus was about both. He was about loving people radically, and he was about healing people. I would say that healing is an act of love. It's an act of mercy. It's an act of compassion. Leaving people possessed by demons is not loving. Ejecting the demon out of them is merciful, is loving. So all of these acts that people want to debate in churches today that they've left, I'm like, why? They're just acts of love. Why would Jesus continue to say, love people, show mercy, compassion, all of that? But you know, the whole gift stuff, we're done with that. Why? And yet, there is no scripture. And I would tell you that denominationally speaking, the majority of Christian churches do not believe for healing today. Outside of, you put the person here, you pray a prayer, and then end it with, if it be your will, but if it not be your will, thy will be done. Which is a faithless, worthless prayer. How do I know? Because in the book of James, it says that when you pray, ask in faith. And it says if you do not have faith, you're like someone who's tossed back and forth by the sea. It's the winds knocking you back and forth. And it says expect that person will receive nothing from the Lord because he's double-minded. Well, how can you judge somebody if they're double-minded? Simple. If it be your will. I don't know what your will is. I hope it's your will, but I don't know. You work in mysterious ways. Does that sound like somebody who's got their mind in the right order? No. If you don't know if it's God's will or not, you shouldn't even pray the prayer. Because faith is believing that what you're praying is going to come to pass. So if you are uncertain, unclear, confused, which is from the enemy, you shouldn't pray. I've never heard this stuff before. Well, most churches are not preaching it, but it's in the Word. I mean, those of you who attend here, new people, I know I'm giving you a lot on the very first week. But we preach truth here. We don't preach denominations. We don't preach theology. Our theology is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Okay. So we've got the 12, the 70, the random guy, and now the food distribution guy. And unfortunately, his miracle signs and wonders and his truth was so radical, they killed him for it. So flash forward. We're halfway into the book of Acts. Acts 10:38 says this. This is Peter speaking. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good. He did what? Good. Okay. Did Jesus ever put sickness on people? No, that was bad. Healing, good. Sickness, bad. God, good. Devil, bad. It's simple, right? But you need Bible colleges and theology to kind of twist those two. Wait, but sometimes God wants you sick. Sickness or healing, good. Oh, God, good. Sickness, bad. Devil, bad. The kids get it. Which is why we should be training our children up early so that, like many of us, don't have to unlearn all this ridiculousness that we were taught. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all. Now, most of your translations will say something to the effect of all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Oppressed can be one of the words used, but that does not bring out the fullness of this very long word, katadunastio. I'm sure I'm not saying that right. I'm not Greek. I know how to study Greek. I don't know how to read Greek or pronounce Greek. So all who were oppressed by the devil, but it's this word, and we're going to see what it is together. So let's go to the next slide. So remember the context. Jesus is going about doing good. Oh, wait, this is the bad side. Good. No offense. Good. He went around doing good. good, and healing all. So healing is on the side of good. Here's this word. It means, now remember, they use the term oppression by the devil. Here's what this word really means. Powerfully bringing someone down. Tyrannize, dominate, or overpower someone. Denying them, I love this, denying them the higher position or blessing they should enjoy. This is what the devil does to you, to me, or tries to do. Now, it says that Jesus of Nazareth went around doing good and healing all, so healing that were who went around healing all who were powerfully brought down, tyrannized, dominated, overpowered, or denied the high position and blessing by the devil. Devil bad. It says Jesus went around healing all who were this by the devil. What did he do? Raised dead people, ejected demons, healed sick people, raised lame people, opened blind eyes, opened deaf ears. All of those things, according to the Bible itself, are things that the devil is responsible for. Does anybody think that this is unclear at all? Because I don't know why people confuse this, because again, in the body of Christ, there are people that believe that when you get sick, or if your hearing all of a sudden goes out or something, it's probably God teaching you something. He either caused it or allowed it because he's sovereign. And again, I would say, do I believe that God could snap his fingers and the universe and time and space exists? Well, of course I do, but we have to understand that God works in covenant with people. Amen? Sometimes if you read the Old Testament and read the New Testament, some people have literally think they're different gods. But God is unchanging. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he works with us differently based on covenant. You do that in your own lives. My covenant, with its promises, its blessings, its privileges with my wife, is different than my covenant with Jesse. Right? Yeah. My covenant with my wife, with its blessings and its privileges and everything comes with it, is different than my covenant with my two daughters. But is Josh the same? Yes, but I deal differently because I'm in different covenants. Does this make sense? That's why when you see God dealing with Job, or God dealing with Noah, or God dealing with Abraham, or God dealing with Moses, it seems like all these things are very different and God is just kind of all over the place. He doesn't change. He deals with us differently based on covenant. And this is what the majority of the church does not understand. When we say things like, God wants you well. Well, but what about, and then they quote the Old Testament. I'm like, I'm not under that covenant. In fact, any full 100% Jewish people in here? None of you were ever under that covenant. Never, not once. It wasn't the Gentiles. The Gentiles were brought in under Christ. You're all Gentiles. So the fact that we're Gentiles and Gentile churches that are trying to live under the Old Testament is... Oh, I have to choose the right word. Insane. It's confusion. It's ignorance. It's, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Which is why we have the Word. Which is why we have the Holy Spirit to teach us all things. I tell people all the time, you want to live under that covenant? Live under it a whole way. Because the Bible says if you offend in one area of the law, you've broken the entire thing. You can't pick and choose the parts of the law that you like. You know, under the law, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, slap them right back. Right? If a drunk driver would accidentally kill one of your family members, you get to kill one of their family members. That's the law. Well, yeah, but, you know, that's against it. It doesn't matter. That was the law. So people want to pick and choose under the Old Testament where, like, well, you know, God, you know, we know that when Miriam sinned against Moses, that leprosy appeared on her head, and that was from God. I'm like, that's a different covenant. When you did something wrong, you were judged for it. In the new covenant, when you do something wrong, you repent and thank him for the grace that you already have from Jesus. This mixing of covenant stuff is dangerous. So to be clear, bad stuff is from the devil. Sickness, disease, all that stuff. Like I said, this is what it says. All who were oppressed is the word. But again, powerfully bringing down, tyrannize, dominate, overpower, denying them the higher position or the blessing they should enjoy. You know what that tells me? Satan wants to deny your blessing, while God wants to pour it out. Sometimes we're bad receivers. We need to receive everything from God in Christ Jesus, not just salvation for heaven someday. All right, let's go on. All right, I'm going to read one more story in here, and then we're going to close. Because I actually saw this, I'm going to be full transparency here, on another ministry website, and I had never seen this scripture this way. And it didn't change my view on healing, but it added another pillar on knowing that God wants us well today. So let's go. We're going to read through it. So I'm reading in the NASB. So if you have your Bibles, go to Acts 14, and we're going to start at verse 1. Okay, it says, in Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed. So they're preaching the gospel, right? Because they had to believe on something. Both the Jews and the Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Isn't this amazing? You know, we talk about healing, even with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not enough that some of them don't believe in healing, but then they stir up other people to come against people who believe in healing. There's entire quote-unquote ministries that spend all of their podcast time attacking people who believe in healing. It sounds like they're accusing the brethren, right? Whose ministry is that? Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. These people need to be careful. So it says that the disbelieving Jews stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord. Look at this. Who was testifying to the word of his grace. Well, what's the word of his grace? The gospel, right? Jesus, the cross. So it says the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders be done by their hands. So now we have another example of saying that they came in and they brought the gospel, or the word of his grace is also called here. It says some believed. And then the unbelieving ones started getting the believing ones to come against them. So there's all these problems. But the Lord is confirming that the word of the gospel is true because he is, and it says, testifying to the word. What does that mean? He's saying the proof is in the pudding, right? Like the pudding is the miracle, signs, and wonders. So he's testifying to the word of his grace, which is the gospel, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided, and some sided with the Jews, and some with the apostles. It's amazing to me that you could see miracle, signs, and wonders literally be done and still not believe. but it happens today. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and to stone them, sound familiar? You know, when we talk about imitating Jesus, we should expect the things Jesus did. Jesus went in, loved people radically, healed their sick, and they tried to stone him on several occasions. Now, the brethren are coming in, preaching the gospel, healing sick people, and they're trying to kill them. It's, as one of the brothers said earlier, to pick a good word, insane. To mistreat them and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding region, and there they continued to preach what? The gospel, which was also called the word of his grace. There's lots of different terms. We would also say the preaching the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. So at Lystra, here's the thing that blew me away. I hope it blows you away too. At Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb. He's never walked. This man was listening to Paul. What's Paul preaching? The gospel, the word of his grace, Jesus. The man is listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze on him, this is now Paul saying, had seen that he had faith to be made well. Had faith to be made well. Sounds like faith is involved. And with a loud voice, Paul says, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped up and began to walk. Now, I don't know if you caught it, because I've never caught it until this ministry pointed this out, and I've read this many times. At Lystra, well, let's back up to verse 8 and see if we catch it. Maybe some of you did. At Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul. What was Paul preaching? The gospel, the word of his grace, Jesus. And when he had fixed his gaze on them, he had seen that he, the man, had faith to be made well. Okay, here's the part I want you to get. If we said today someone's preaching the gospel, you would say they're preaching Jesus, they're preaching salvation, they're preaching heaven someday, they're preaching that Jesus' new commandment is love one another. That's the gospel, right? Jesus died for your sins so that you will go to heaven someday. Outside of maybe this church, that's where most gospel messages begin and end, right? If you were to leave here today and drive down the road and hit a sheet of ice and barrel into a tree, where would you be? Yeah, see, Larry knows where he's going. He's like, I'd be home. But it's a tactic to get you to come forward, to pray a really quick prayer so that you don't go to hell if you hit a tree on the way home. We don't preach that here. Yes, you will get to go to heaven, but what about that's the sweet by and by, but what about the here, now, and now? Right? We're supposed to be living the kingdom, healing the sick, ejecting demons. We're supposed to be bringing the kingdom of heaven. We're supposed to be loving people radically. Heaven is the prize someday. The Bible says that we are foreigners in this land. We're just here for a short time. This is not our home. Like Larry said, heaven is our home. We're just hanging out here for a while. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. So this man is listening to the gospel. So apparently the gospel that he's listening to is not pray a prayer and go to heaven. You know how I know? Because it says he's listening to Paul and he has faith to be healed. Let me ask you something. If you've never heard the gospel before, you've never read the Bible before, and somebody walks up to you and says, you need to believe in this Jesus, because this Jesus will wipe away your sins and will save your soul from hell, and you'll get to go to heaven someday. And let's pretend your legs don't work. Would your mind immediately go to, oh, I could be healed? The answer is no, because you were never told that healing is part of the salvation package. But this man apparently got it into his mind somehow that he could be healed. How did he get it into his mind? It says he was listening to what Paul was saying. We very clearly, the Bible says that Paul was preaching the gospel. So what if the gospel includes healing? Does everybody see that? I'm not the crazy one, right? Like, why doesn't it say that Paul fixed his gaze on the man and the man had faith to be saved? The man had faith to believe in Jesus. The man had faith to go to heaven, if that is the gospel. But no, it says that he had faith to be made well. Why would he even think this if it's not part of Paul's message? Because the answer is, it is part of Paul's message, and it was part of Paul's message, and I believe it should be the message of the gospel. It's not the message. Healing doesn't take the place. It's part of the promise. It's part of the deal. It's part of the blessings that the devil is trying to lie to us to keep us from, as we had said earlier, that keep you from having the blessing and the place that you should walk in. I mean, isn't this fascinating? Like, I just read over that so many times, but I'm like, wait, he's listening to what Paul says. If Paul's preaching the gospel, then the gospel must include healing, because why is this man thinking he could be healed if he's only hearing the message, believe in Jesus so you can go to heaven? Why would healing even enter his mind? Now, it says that Paul fixes his gaze on him, and it says that he sees that the man had faith to be well. Now, we can interpret this a lot of different ways. Some people could say maybe he had a word of knowledge from the Spirit that the man had to be well. I'm like, maybe. Or maybe the guy's just sitting here like this. He can't wait. Like, he's just, you know, everybody else is kind of listening to him, kind of yawning a little bit, but this guy's like hanging on Paul's every word, and he's just, and Paul's looking at this dude, and he's like, this guy wants to be well. I'm going to call him out, right? I mean, and all the times, like, there's been times where people are sick. I'm like, do you want prayer? Why aren't we excited to get prayer? What if we had that intensity of this man that's sitting there? He has, and it's not like he got some leg disease. He has been lame his whole life, and he gets this idea in his mind that this kingdom, this gospel, this Jesus, that he could actually get up and walk over a message that Paul preached one time. What if healing is part of the gospel message? That was part of Paul's message. And like I said, and if you back up in the text, it says they went to the regions and they continued to preach the gospel. It doesn't say they taught healing. It says they taught the gospel. And yet this man gets it in his mind that he can get up and walk. So how could we not deduce that healing is part of the gospel message? And it doesn't even say that he healed other people and that this man was like looking around going, oh, all these people got healed, I could be healed. It doesn't say that, because where they were doing the signs and wonders before, where it says the Lord was working with them, confirming the word of his grace, that was the place they tried to kill them. So they left and went somewhere else. So there wasn't any miracle signs and wonders taking place in the new place. This man heard something about Jesus the healer and he wanted it. It's part of the gospel. After reading this, I don't know how I can ever retract that statement anymore. I mean, you've heard me say that the Bible says, by his wounds we are healed. That word healed in the Greek is the word eaomai. It means physical healing. Yes, all of those things too. But we have a live first century example from Paul that he is preaching what the Bible calls the gospel, and it apparently included healing because that's what this man heard. Could you imagine if churches just started including healing as part of the gospel, how many people would start to get healed? Because, brothers and sisters, right, you have no problem believing that Jesus forgives your sins, washes you white as snow, and one day you will go to heaven. You've got no problem believing that because you cannot see any of it. You will find out one day. The Bible calls it our hope in Christ. And the word hope is the word expectation. But what if we had that same expectation to get healed every single time? Well, but what if we pray for somebody and they don't get healed? Come for more prayer. Get more prayer and more prayer. Have different people speak over you. We watched this series on angels called Miracles. One guy had he had a brain tumor. He went all over the world and would have anybody and everybody lay hands on him because he knew that that was his only hope. And through that process, he ended up laying hands on other people and getting healed. And after he finished his trip and came home, they went back in, brain tumor gone. Maybe because what he was freely receiving, he was freely giving. I've heard preachers talk about, you need a healing in your body, go pray for the sick. And I'm not saying God is withholding healing until you go pray for people. I'm just saying, you know, if you want to see healing in your own life, go start healing some other people. Well, Pastor, we can't do anything. Well, with that attitude, you will not. No, it is not you who heals. It is the power of our Lord, our Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you that does it. But you've got to lay hands. You've got to have faith. Those are things that are mentioned over and over and over again. And we just don't like that. It's not convenient, so we just don't talk about it. Because there's responsibility attached. And it's just easier to sit on your couch and just rattle off prayers to God and then end it with, if it be your will, and then go back to watching your television. It's a lot easier than actually laying hands on someone and then praying for their arm and go, okay, now test it out. Is it better? It's about 30% better. All right, let's pray again. And then just another 15-second prayer, have other people lay hands. Okay, do something you couldn't do before. Well, I couldn't go up this far before. What are you at? I'm like 80% and I really don't feel even the pain anymore. All right, let's pray again. We go after it. And the same way you want to go after unbelievers and bring them into the kingdom, we go after healing. Well, shouldn't it just work the first time? Take that up with Jesus, because one time Jesus prayed over someone and took his hands off. Son of God, God made into flesh, took his hands off. What do you see? I see men like trees. Oh, well, let's pray again. Jesus prayed a second time. The Son of God prayed a second time. God encased in flesh prayed a second time. Okay, now what do you see? I see everything clear. What if Jesus was like, oh man, I prayed and he just sees people like trees. Well, that was better than what you were seeing before, so be blessed. At least you can see something now. Just get a better set of glasses, that'll all work out. And here's the other final thing I want to say. We should always be amazed at the supernatural, but we need to get to a place where it doesn't shock us anymore. You know, like, you know, if you've ever prayed for somebody and see people not get healed, and then when you pray for somebody and get healed, in your mind, and you may keep it to yourself or maybe you don't, you're like, yes, it worked. It's always supposed to work. But don't let that beat you up. There's all kinds of things going on. The devil's in the earth. He's the god of this world. We struggle with mind things. We struggle with unbelief. Just stop blaming yourself. Let's get over guilt, shame, and condemnation and get everyone well. Do you, and I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, just, you know, give me an amen or something like that. Do you believe, and I know many of you have already believed this, from what we saw from this, that the fact that Paul was preaching the gospel, it uses the words the gospel, and this man heard that he could be healed. Do you see now that healing is a part of the gospel? Amen. And if you've got people that don't believe that, I would encourage you to take them to that scripture and go, what did this guy hear that he believed that he could walk when he has never walked? What is Paul talking about? He's not talking about heaven someday. He's talking about healing. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It's good. I've been sitting on this for like 3 weeks. It was really hard because I was excited. And listen, you know, at the end, what we normally do here, we're going to have our prayer ministers over here, and we're going to have our four mountain movers that also do the laying on of hands. And if this became revelation to you and you need a healing in your body, do not leave here until you go over and get prayer. Because these are the things that excite faith. Because you may like, I am excited in all of this, but you know what? Maybe I'll get prayer next week. You don't know what's going to happen between this week and this week, this week and next week, where the devil's going to come in and start to punch at your brain like crazy to get you to unlearn, that your revelation about this dies in the next 5 days. You need to make sure that this is at the forefront. Healing is a part of the gospel. All right, worship team, come on up. Okay, I'm going to pray, and we are going to worship. Remember all the different things that we're going to be doing during this time. Make sure you grab your communion, and we're going to take it together at the end. Father, thank you for this. Thank you that we could read a scripture 100 times and miss it. Father, I pray that when we continue to read scripture, that we always pray to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, reveal something fresh to me. It's always been there since the dawn of time because it's your word. In the beginning was the word was God, and the word was with God. But pray to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, reveal something fresh to me as I read your word today. Holy Spirit, as I spend time with you in soaking, reveal something new to me. Reveal, if you're looking for a job, reveal which way to go. If you're looking for a certain direction to go with your family, Holy Spirit, reveal to me through your word which path to choose. Because the Holy Spirit will bring what Jesus promises, all things to our remembrance, and he will show us things to come. We love you, Lord. Thank you for truth. I pray that truth that was spoken here today becomes everyone's reality. It has to become truth to us. It has to become a revelation to us. And I pray that for everyone in this room and those that will listen to the videos out there that we don't even know about, that it will become revelation to them. It will become their reality, and they will learn to walk in that reality. And it's in your precious name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.